RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono urges Aung San Suu Kyi to take prompt action over Rohingya crisis. Chairman of the Nation Awakening Party Mohaimin Iskandar writes to Suu Kyi about Rohingya crisis. Now the news in detail. Former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono has urged Myanmar's leader Aung San Suu Kyi to take prompt action over the Rohingya crisis, he said after delivering his keynote address to a seminar on democracy in Southeast Asia on Saturday, that the Rohingya issue is a very serious one. As Myanmar's neighbors, he also hoped they will be able to manage the issue seriously. He stated if the current systematic murder of Rohingya ethnic minority is left to continue, it may lead to gross human rights violation, if not ethnic cleansing or genocide. Yudhoyono noted that he has always kept abreast of developments in Myanmar, and the Rohingya issue has gone beyond the limits of impropriety. He explained that the Rohingya conflict should not lead to a wave of radicalism and terrorism and should not turn into an interreligious conflict, which may have more serious impacts. He remarked that ASEAN should also intervene, adding that it was not just Myanmar's internal affairs. Chairman of the National Awakening Party, Mohaimin Iskandar, has written to Myanmar's leader Aung San Suu Kyi expressing his concern about the Rohingya ethnic group sufferings. In his press statement released on Saturday, Mohaimin said he could hardly restrain himself after learning how the Myanmar government has treated the Rohingya minority group. The party's chairman said he was surprised at why Suu Kyi, who has struggled for democracy for years, keeps her eyes off the fate of the Rohingyas. He also asked the Myanmar ambassador to Indonesia to clarify why the violence against the Rohingyas could happen. On Saturday, more than 100 people of the professional community for Rohingya Humanitarian staged a rally in front of the Myanmar's embassy in Jakarta to demand the Myanmar government to stop the genocide against the Rohingyas. The demonstrators also demanded Suu Kyi to not remain silent and to make efforts to stop the massacre and expulsion of Rohingyas. An international relations observer, Iwayan Putriane, urges the Myanmar's government to protect and safeguard the Rohingyas' humanitarian rights. Iwayan Putriane, in a dialogue with Radio Republik Indonesia, said Sunday that the treatment of Myanmar government through the military against the Rohingya ethnic groups limits the humanity.
Dalam konteks ini, Indonesia bisa lebih berperan secara lebih aktif dalam konteks ASEAN misalnya. Ya.
Indonesia should be more active to urge Myanmar as a member of ASEAN to treat Rohingya within the limits of humanity. Don't be like this now. The citizens of Rohingya are afraid. They do not dare to live in their own homes. They are scattered, separated from their families. They are very miserable. This is a new style of oppression at the time of transparency, the era of human rights. Iwayan Putriana also supports the violence issue in the Rakhine state of Myanmar to be discussed at the General Assembly of the United Nations. The violence of the Rohingyas must be stopped immediately. Hundreds of thousands of Rohingyas are threatened and forced to flee to neighboring countries such as Bangladesh and even Indonesia. When leaving home, they have to face hunger, so the international world's assistance is very much needed. According to Iwayan Putriana, this is a humanitarian issue not only for Islamic countries, but also for a whole world. Deputy of Indonesian Tourism Development and Marketing of Ministry of Tourism, Esti Reko Astuti, is optimistic that the 15 million tourist target this year can be realized because until July, the total number of tourist arrivals was 7.8 million tourists. However, Esti said, there are obstacles to be faced by Indonesian tourism sector, namely accessibility related to the limited direct flights from other countries to the areas that become the tourism destinations. Esti in West Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, on Sunday, hopes that local governments try to have chartered flights like Manado, Riau, and Lombok, which have recently opened chartered flights from Korea to Lombok. Tourists from South Korea have shown increasing positive interest to have a vacation in West Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, which is called the land of thousands of mosques. Economists at SKHA Institute for Global Competitiveness, Eric Alexander Sugandi, estimated that inflation in August would not be high. According to him, there is even a potential of deflation, albeit small. Eric added that low inflation was triggered by the prices of basic food that have gone back to normal, especially after 8 days. In addition, pressure from administered prices were no longer felt, including basic electricity rate. Eric also estimated that inflation in August would reach 0.05% month-to-month, or a 3.94% year-to-year. In July, inflation was reported to be around 0.22% month-to-month, or 3.88% year-on-year. Governor of Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, Agus Martowardoyo, previously said that there would be potential of deflation in August based on the price monitoring survey conducted by Bank Indonesia. August inflation is expected to be around only 0.01%, thus there is still room for deflation. Data on August inflation will be released by the Central Statistics Agency on Monday. Last item. House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto complimented Indonesia's badminton players Tontowi Ahmad and Liliana Natsir, who recently won the 2017 World Championships in Glasgow, Scotland, and promised a place for top-performing athletes in the future to be hired as government employees. Mixed doubles pair Tontowi and Liliana beat world number one Zhang Shiwei and Cheng Qingchen of China on Sunday, August the 27th, to claim the world title for the second time. The Indonesian pair won the same medal in 2013. According to Setia, people must give credit to the Indonesian Badminton Federation, who have made everything possible for the pair to clinch victory in Glasgow. In addition, he promised that the House will provide more support to help Indonesian athletes who gain more recognition at international events. As a concrete step, the budget for sports might be increased from 3 trillion rupiahs or $224 million in 2017 to 4 trillion rupiahs next year. The speaker also promised to fight to give top-tier athletes chances to work at government institutions after their retirement. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono urges Aung San Suu Kyi to take prompt action over Rohingya crisis. Chairman of the National Awakening Party, Muhaimin Iskandar, writes to Suu Kyi about Rohingya crisis. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is NRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country, bringing you interesting information from across Indonesia in a week. The first news comes from Batang, Central Java. Governor of Central Java Ganjar Pranowo with Batang Region Yoyo Rio Sudibyo on Wednesday harvested rice planted with Jajar Legowo Super Farming Method in Kasepuhan, Batang District. Ganjar Pranowo said that good communication and coordination between agricultural officers and farmers can result in an increase of agricultural production. He said with the method, they would be able to produce harvest reaching 9.8 tons of paddy per hectare of dry milled grain, so it can be recommended to farmers. Meanwhile, head of the Center for Agricultural Technology Assessment Central Java, Harwanto, said it has the task of encouraging and supporting agriculture in synergy with agricultural service, like Bulog and the Statistic Institution, to improve rice productivity so that food self-sufficiency can be realized. There are 8 districts that have been using the technology method, namely Karanganyar, Sukoharjo, Pati, Sragen, Klaten, Brebes, Pemalang, and Batang. The next news comes from Yogyakarta. Regional Financial and Asset Management Board of Yogyakarta City awarded 30 taxpayers who are considered obedient and can be role models for other taxpayers to regular paying taxes. Head of the Regional Finance and Asset Management Board of Yogyakarta City, Kadri Renggono in Yogyakarta, said last Tuesday that the number of recipients of the awards this year are more than last year. This, according to him, shows taxpayer obedience in fulfilling their obligations is increasing. According to him, the assessment of the awardees was done based on the obedience and regularity they pay taxes over the past year, including the tax value paid. Nevertheless, the award is not given to taxpayers in all types of local taxes levied by the government of Yogyakarta. Of the 10 types of local taxes, awards are only given to taxpayers in 5 types of local taxes, namely hotel, restaurants, parking, entertainment, and land building taxes. The 5 types of local taxes, continued Kadari, gave contribution of the region's original income is quite large. Until July, the realization of local taxes in the city of Yogyakarta reached 68.12% or about 228 billion rupiahs of the target, 336 billion. In fact, some local taxes have exceeded the target, such as entertainment tax has reached 123% of the target of 7 billion rupiahs, and parking taxes reached 113.7% from the target. Deputy Mayor of Yogyakarta, Heru Purwadi, requested that taxpayers who receive the awards not only see the award given but are able to motivate other taxpayers to pay taxes regularly. The latest news comes from West Bangka, Bangka Belitung Islands. Approximately 200 fishing boats in Kelabat Bay, West Bangka Regency, Bangka Belitung Islands Province, participated in the celebration of the 72nd anniversary of Indonesia's Independence Day. Executive Director of Indonesian Marine and Fisheries Agency of Bangka Belitung Islands Province, Suhaidir Kojek, last Sunday said the boat's carnival was quite lively and attended by thousands of residents who since morning have packed the periphery of Teluk Kelabat to witness the convoy of fishermen's boats. With the high enthusiasm of the people, he hopes next year it can be held again in more festive way. Suhaidir, who currently also serves as coordinator of Bangka Fishermen Forum in West Bangka Regency, gives positive appreciation for the fishing boat parade. Hundreds of boats decorated in various colors by fishermen look beautiful and attractive in the fishing carnival in Teluk Klabat. It lasted from early morning until late afternoon in a boat row around Klabat Bay and received rousing welcome from spectators who crowded the water's edge. Well, that was news from across Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with September 3, 1950. Giuseppe Farina became the first Formula One champion in history. Dottore Emilio Giuseppe, or Nino Farina, was born on October 30, 1906 and died on June 30, 1966, was an Italian racing driver and was the first official Formula One world champion, gaining the title in 1950. He was also the Italian champion in 1937, 1938, and 1939. During his 30-year racing career, he suffered a series of accidents. The British Grand Prix of 1950 was the inaugural race of the Formula One race series then. It was held at Silverstone Circuit, England on May 13, 1950. At that time, Farina drove an Alfa Romeo. Turning to September 3, 1971, Qatar's independence. Qatar is an emirate state in the Middle East located on a small peninsula in the Arabian Peninsula in West Asia. Their only land boundary is Saudi Arabia in the south and the rest is bordered by the Persian Gulf. Initially, Qatar was under Ottoman rule, then Qatar became a British protectorate in the early 20th century. Then British protectorate status that was discontinued in 1916. In the past, the British controlled Qatar as a transit vessel before heading to India. After the Second World War, Qatar sought to gain independence, especially after India achieved its independence in the 1950s. Qatar intensified after Britain granted independence to Kuwait in 1961. The British government declared it would stop political control but continue to exercise economic control in Qatar. This is not allowed by Qatar by for performing an Arabian Gulf Federation along with Bahrain. Qatar became an independent country on September 3, 1971. Last is from September 3, 1997, Vietnam Airlines Flight 815 crashed. Vietnam Airlines 815 was scheduled to fly from Ho Chi Minh City to Po Chien Tong Airport, Phnom Penh, on September 3, 1997. The Tupolev Tu-134B3 plane crashed about 300 meters from the runway when it was nearing its final destination. This accident killed 65 of 66 people in it. The plane was totally destroyed. Bad weather and poor airport infrastructure made the pilot difficult to find grounding and caused the accident. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Hello there, welcome back to this week's Spotlight, which today is on strategic position of youth against threat to survival of nationality and state. The Indonesian nation today faces many new hidden threats spread on the internet to influence the public mind and divide the unity of the nation. In this condition, the strategic position of youth to fight against the threat to the nation and the state is needed. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto at the National Youth Symposium of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, August the 30th, said the strategic role of youth in this country's change is very significant. Therefore, it is not surprising that youth become the object of interest to politicians who want a change. However, people must be careful what kind of change and how should be considered first. The threat to the state, Wiranto said, is not in conventional form anymore. The country now faces an ideological threat that has the potential to tear apart the Indonesian nation. It does not have one ideology. This nation will be easily broken into pieces. The government, he said, has equipped people with strong personal defenses to be able to deal with attacks or threats of foreign ideologies. This is achieved by implementing the State of Defenses program. Presidential Working Unit Assessment Deputy on Working Material of Pancasila Ideal Stabilization, Anas Saidi, explained that the strategic role of youth in applying Pancasila values is needed. The real translation, among others, can be done by participating in alleviating the people from poverty, regardless of tribe and religion, but more based on humanity aspects. He said that currently there are young people who have done it, but there are some who are destructive against Pancasila. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Central Executive Board of Indonesian National Youth Committee, Rifai Darus, said other challenges faced by Indonesia include radicalism, unemployment, cybercrime, and drugs. Youth must put themselves at the forefront of the situation. With regard to the value of Pancasila, he advises against using the old paradigm. Socialization of Pancasila needs to be done by utilizing information technology. Well, that was this week's Spotlight.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for news in brief. Former Indonesian President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono has urged Myanmar's leader Aung San Suu Kyi to take prompt action over the Rohingya crisis. Chairman of the Nation's Awakening Party, Muhaymin Iskandar, has written to Myanmar's leader Aung San Suu Kyi expressing his concern about Rohingya ethnic group's sufferings. An international relations observer, Iwayan Patriana, urges the Myanmar's government to protect and safeguard the Rohingya's humanitarian rights. Deputy Indonesian Tourism Development and Marketing of the Ministry of Tourism, Esti Reko Astuti, is optimistic that the 15 million tourist target this year can be realized because until July, the total number of tourist arrival was 7.8 million. Economist at SKA Institute for Global Competitiveness, Eric Alexander Sugandi, estimated that inflation in August would not be high. According to him, there is even potential of deflation, albeit small. House of Representatives Speaker Setia Novanto complimented Indonesian badminton players Tontowi Ahmad and Lilian Nasir, who recently won the 2017 World Championships in Glasgow, Scotland, and promised a place for top performing athletes in the future to be hired as government employees. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder. Today, I will invite you to enjoy the beauty of Saleh Bay in Sumbawa Island. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In addition to shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Administratively, Teluk Saleh is in three districts, namely Sumbawa, Dompu, and Bima, due to its large water area. To reach it, you can either use a car or a ship. If you use the land route, you should start the journey from Poto Tanot Port, which connects Lombok Island and Sumbawa Island, which is indeed a considerable distance. You can use public transport or private car, which will take you to one of the three districts. If your route does not reach Saleh Bay area, you can connect it with motorcycle taxi. If you pass the sea, of course, the journey will take much longer, but tourists usually prefer the sea route because it would enable them to visit various beaches and islands such as Bali and Lombok Islands before you reach the bay. The cost when you pass the sea lane will be more expensive. Therefore, if you just want to enjoy the panoramic Teluk Saleh, you should use the land route. You can walk around the waters or find spot diving, and you can always rent a boat on the beach. Because of the amazing biodiversity, it becomes popular diving spot, but snorkeling can also be the right choice if you do not dive there. Saleh Bay has also been named as a World Aquarium by Indonesian Institute of Sciences. Various types of fish ranging from grouper, mackerel, snapper, shellfish, and even whales can be found in the Saleh Bay. In addition, another interesting sight that you can also find here is the presence of the dolphins. Unfortunately, in the vicinity of Teluk Saleh, there is no hotel nor inn. But you can set up a tent on the edge of the beach. By doing so, you can be more familiar with the atmosphere of Saleh Bay, and if the weather is fine, you can enjoy the beauty of shining stars on the beach. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder introducing Saleh Bay in Sumbawa Island. We meet again tomorrow with the same program and another topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Airwood Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to our regular program Miscellany over at Airwood Service Voice of Indonesia. Today's topic is on 600 scholarship students 2017-2018 arrived in Indonesia. Stay tuned.
The Indonesian government provides a one-year non-graduate scholarship for foreign students from partner countries to learn Indonesian language and cultural arts at public or private universities in Indonesia. This non-degree scholarship is called Dharma Siswa RI or DRI. This program also leads to scholarships between Indonesian partner countries and has become a program of soft diplomacy and people-to-people contact in education and culture. Started in 1974, Dharma Siswa Scholarship Program has been participated by 7,215 students from 117 countries studying at various public and private universities spread throughout Indonesia. At first, this program only had participants from countries in the Asian region. The RI is considered very strategic as a means of cultural diplomacy, therefore the amount and coverage of the states that joined this program raised. For the 2017-2018 academic year, the program is attended by approximately 600 students from 96 countries studying in 55 universities in Indonesia. Dharma Siswa Scholarship students 2017-2018 arrived in Jakarta on 29 August 2017. Furthermore, the participants joined a workshop and arrival orientation on 30 August 2017 in Jakarta. In his speech in the Dharma Siswa arrival orientation, the Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi said that the program has continued to increase from its beginning in 1970. Living and studying in Indonesia, a maritime country which has hundreds of languages and the largest Muslim population in the world, is expected to give fun and unique experiences for the Dharma Siswa Scholarship students. Minister Muhajir also hoped that the participants of Dharma Siswa will later become cultural ambassadors of Indonesia after returning to their countries. At the arrival orientation at Grand Sahid Jaya Hotel Jakarta, Dharma Siswa Scholarship students were given knowledge of local culture and wisdom. This opportunity at the same time became the introduction among fellow participants so they can build a network together, a commitment to achieve the program, and also can play an active role in the development of language and arts of Indonesian culture. The students also met representatives of the state who attended the event. On August 31, 2017, Dharma Siswa Scholarship students departed for various universities that have been determined in various regions and cities in Indonesia, such as Yogyakarta, Bali, Malang East Java, and Padang West Sumatra. Listener, that was Miss Lenny for today. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Guillermo Arzuaga from Argentina. He was listening to our broadcast in Spanish program on January 18, 2017. In his email, Mr. Guillermo Arzuaga told that he considers our broadcast very useful and rich in content, which gives a different vision to what he can see in the Argentine media. Hello, Mr. Guillermo Arzuaga. Thank you very much for your compliment on our broadcast. We are really glad because the information we broadcast is useful. Hopefully, the information can add your insight about our country, either current affairs or culture. Well, Mr. Guillermo Arzuaga, keep listening to our broadcast. We are looking forward to receiving your next email and reception report. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song!
Baru aku sadari, ku telah mengingkari hati. Tega ku mendustai cinta yang kini ku miliki. Bukan aku sengaja, tak jujur harus mengakui. Meski sudah terjadi, ku harus rela mengakhiri. Meski semua air mata harus berlinang dengan rela, ku harus melupakan. Walau pedih dan terluka, biarlah semua hilang sirna. Membekas tanpa dendam, kau takkan mungkin termiliki. Bukan entah masih adakah rindu yang mestinya kau sinarkan. Walau harus kecewa, ku coba merelakan. Ku yakin akan ada cinta kan datang menemani dirimu yang sendiri. Dari yang mengingkari, oh, oh. Thank you.
Listener, now we will replay a letter from Lilian Putina in Republic of Moldova. She was listening to our broadcast in Arabic program through frequency of 9525 kHz on January 19, 2017 at 16:35 UTC. And the simple was 33333. Hello, Miss Lilian Putina. Thank you for monitoring our radio. Your reception report is quite complete, but unfortunately, you did not mention what segment of our program you like. We hope that you do not only like all segments of our program, but you can also get useful information through the program. Well, Miss Lilian Putina, keep listening to our broadcast and please do not forget to send your reception report. Thank you.
Jiwa terasa saat aku mengenal dirimu, walau hanya dengan tatapan matamu bergetar jantungku. Hatiku merindu tak tertahankan, ingin ku selalu ada dekat dirimu, dan sejenak terlintaslah di benakku kaulah pujaanku. Bayang hati telah menyatu, cinta yang ada di genggamanku tak akan ada yang meragu di hati. Oh, denyut nadi masuk ruang hatimu, persembahan cinta kasihku kepadamu. Ku relakan semua waktu yang ku punya, lepaskan hanya demi bahagia dirimu, dan sejenak terlintaslah di benakku kaulah pujaanku. Persembahan cinta
kasihku kepadamu. Persembahan cinta kasihku kepadamu.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from Pavel Ivanov in Russia. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through frequency 9525 kHz at 1937 hour to 1959 hour UTC on January 20, 2017, and the simple was 34232. Hello Mr. Pavel Ivanov, thank you for your email and detailed reception report. Therefore we know how well our broadcast can be received in your country is. Yes, your report is very correct. As your request, we will send our key SL card to your home immediately. Please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Mr. Pavel Ivanov, please keep listening to our broadcast and sending your report. For you, listener, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Cinta padaku berhenti.
Listener, before we sign off our listener's mailbag segment, we want to reply an email from Mr. Abdul Razak in Bangladesh. Mr. Abdul Razak sent his email through info@voi.co.id. Hello, Mr. Abdul Razak. Thank you for your email on our broadcast. We are really sorry because we cannot fulfill your request. Hopefully, you will always tune in Voice of Indonesia. We are looking forward to receiving your next email, including your reception report. Thank you. Well, listener, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. Or you can send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian medieval song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Selalu ada, selalu saja mengganggu pikirku. Aku gelisah, aku tersiksa karenamu. Aku tak tahu apa yang kini ku rasa. Ku rasa-rasa, aku merasa biasa saja. Tapi mengapa hatiku rasa berubah-ubah. Kadang ku marah, kadang ku suka karenanya. Aku curiga ada sesuatu yang salah. Oh, ini kan yang namanya cinta. Oh, ini kan yang kini ku rasa. Tapi mengapa aku gelisah.
Terasa saat aku mengenal dirimu, walau hanya dengan tatapan matamu, bergetar jantungku. Hatiku merindu tak tertahankan, ingin ku selalu ada dekat dirimu. Dan sejenak terlintaslah di benakku, kaulah pujaanku. Bayang hati telah menyatu, cinta yang ada di genggamanku tak akan ada yang meragu di hati. Oh, denyut nadi mengalir deras saat ku masuk ruang hatimu, persembahan cinta. Kasihku kepadamu, ku relakan semua waktu yang ku punya, lepaskan hanya demi bahagia dirimu. Dan sejenak terlintaslah di benakku, kaulah pujaanku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.